podcast about movies, memories, and refreshing beverages. I'm Eric Fell.
I'm Jason Dedrick.
I'm Vicky Van.
We are going to be talking about 1982's Tron, directed by Steven Lisberger.
The one and only Steven Lisberger?
The one and only Steven Lisberger. Tron, everybody, it's Tron.
Tron. I was so excited for Tron. It was 1983?
82. It's 82 and 84 were like two huge years in movies, and this was, yeah.
And what month did it come out?
One of them.
Oh, I love that one. The one with the vowel in it.
It must have been a summer release because I saw it in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
And I spent my summers in New Jersey.
Because I can't remember if I had an Atari yet or if Atari was in my future.
Oh.
I think I had it that Christmas. Okay. And that's why I'm wondering, or like the Christmas of 81, and now I'm playing it in 82. And so now the gods have smiled upon me and they are going to show me. You know, when you're a kid and you have all the wrong ideas about, like, if you bought the soundtrack of a movie, it was some other movie. And when it wasn't the movie, you were like, oh, I don't understand. That Charlie Brown on the front. This is Charlie Brown. I said, no, it's just the music from it. So I think I wanted more video game. I didn't need a bunch of actors at the time was my memory of it. But but you saw it in New Jersey when it came out.
I saw it when I was 7 years old. Yeah. My Aunt Patricia took us to the movies, as she would often, and sometimes not very good movies for kids. We went to see Four Seasons once. We were sitting in the front row of Four Seasons with Alan Alda. We fell asleep. But yeah, we went to see Tron. And I remember it being like really pretty and cool looking, and it didn't really impact me all that much. I don't remember becoming obsessed with it in any way like I did with Star Wars. It just was pretty and I think a little bit boring in the middle and for a seven-year-old.
Yeah, and at the beginning and the end too, I think.
It's not that long of a movie, but for seven, it was a long movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You saw it in the theater?
I saw it in the theater. I was six, and I saw it on a massive screen. I might have even seen it in 70 mil.
Mm.
Wow.
And seeing something that gorgeous, that big, it was like just power just pouring into my eyeballs. I loved the music. I loved all the wild colors. I loved... when I was little, I would... Whenever there was a big door, I still to this day... I will say, now that is a big door. you know, Jeff Bridges is great and likable in it. But the things that I remember most about the movie are not necessarily... It's a movie I've seen a bunch. Mm-hmm. But my sort of... my brain, when I think about the movie, I think about the things associated with the movie that really affected me. I had an Intellivision. So we had Tron Mazatron by Mattel Electronics. So Mattel had the license for Tron toys.
Okay.
And they also owned the Intellivision, so Tron stuff was coming out for the Intellivision. The Tron arcade game blew my mind because it had the same joystick as the Space Paranoids game in the movie. And I remembered the music from the video game. I remembered playing the video game more than the actual, you know, sitting and watching the movie.
The movie, right.
So for me, it was like all the stuff surrounding Tron. And also then it became a thing where it didn't do great.
No.
It disappeared. Disney kind of forgot it existed. So it was one of those like, yeah, but have you seen Tron on Laserdisc over the years? But yeah, I really, you know, my parents were real smart in the early 80s and sent my sister and I to computer camp. Which is like you go for a day and you learn how to program in BASIC. You get yourself used to a computer, which none of the other kids were doing. So when it came time for computers to become more commonplace in the home, we had a bit of an edge because we'd been using them.
Wow.
But yeah, watching it, it's interesting though, watching with Katie. Katie was like, I understand why this is visually important and it was difficult to make, but it's not the most exciting film, which is true.
I think that's fair. They should have called it Troon. Because that's a very true comment. I was, I guess, about 12 or 13 when it came out. And so I was maybe a bit more aware than you guys might have been of some of the ballyhoo around it. Because there was a lot of stuff about, oh, we filmed it all in black and white, and then we all colored it like this. And there was a lot of magic that should have bolstered that movie that was kind of taken out of it for me, because I still love special effects stuff. There was a great special that had mostly Empire Strikes Back things in it.
It was called SPFX, The Making of Empire Strikes Back.
It could be that very one.
It was narrated by Mark Hamill, and it was the thing when I was 4 years old that said, people make these. I can make stuff. That is one of the most like formative things.
It is. I made my first stop action movie after seeing that thing there. And so, but the way Disney talked about the black and white in Tron was just like, oh, black and white, and you colored it, and just like, okay, I don't know. And I didn't see it again, actually, until I think when Tron Legacy came out. And so I watched the first Tron again at that point. And I went, is that the girl from Caddyshack? And I was right. And then when I just watched it now for this, which I guess is my third time only viewing it, I barely remembered anything from when I did see it before. Did I enjoy it more? Kind of. Now you get older and you start to develop weirder ideas. I mean, Wreck-It Ralph went into the internet and went into the computer, and now that's fresher in my spoon than the floating big thing me do's. But
recognizers.
Recognizers.
Yeah, those recognizers.
Wow. They should have called it the recognizer. But I don't know where I was going with it other than the magic had been taken out of it, but I do certainly appreciate the visuals of it. So if that's what you're taking away, I mean, the colors are great, and the light cycle thing was probably the most
that was
formative
amazing.
Thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, every game of Snafu I played on the Intellivision Entertainment was the light cycles. For an entire year, my bike was a light cycle. Then Return of the Jedi came out, and then it was a speeder bike. It still is.
Of course.
Yeah. That was any other thoughts on the Tron?
Nostalgia. I do remember the video game. Yeah. I remember it in the arcade, and I did not have, my cousins had a Commodore 64 and they played there was four of us, two cousins in New Jersey and me and my sister, and they would play one by one, you'd get a turn on Donkey Kong. And I was the youngest, so I would get 2 seconds on the Donkey Kong. Oh. And then I'd have to pass it over to my cousin, who had been playing it for months, who would be like, okay, I'll see you in 45 minutes. So I remember I wasn't very good at the arcade game of Tron, but I really loved the visuals and the speeder bike and,
They're light cycles. The light cycles were cool. The Hi-Li.
Hi-Li.
The Hi-Li, when Jeff Bridges played Hi-Li against...
Deadly Hi-Li.
That's right. That was...
against Londo Mollari from Babylon 5. The second Babylon 5 cast member in there, because, Bruce Boxleitner.
Bring him back alive. That's where I knew him from.
Back alive. What was his name in that?
Frank Buck.
That's right. He had a mustache too, right?
I don't think he did. I mean, he could have, but for some reason I imagine him clean shaven, but with the pith helmet.
Okay. Maybe I'm just thinking of other mustached Boxleitner adventures.
No, I don't know. Maybe he was.
With Boxleitner.
Scarecrow and Mrs. Smith. Yeah.
I have a friend who's a stunt performer, and he was the stunt double for Boxleitner on a... he was the sword fighting double on a show called The Young Musketeers or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was a Young Musketeers thing, and Boxleitner's playing D'Artagnan, and then one day he just comes out and goes, hey, Eric, check out my voicemail. Boop, boop. Hey, it's Boxleitner. Next time we're in town, we should have some lunch. Thanks for the sword. He calls himself Boxleitner? That's amazing. But it was, for me, for the Intellivision, there was Tron Deadly Discs and Maze of Tron, and I remember the games really, really well. I remember being wowed by the movie, but with watching with someone who's never seen it, it was interesting because they were acknowledging the visual splendor, but also going, story's kind of clunky. I feel like this isn't like it's this person didn't have a lot of experience directing people, I felt. And then I found out, Lisberger had done a lot of animation stuff.
Oh.
In fact, the birth of Tron, there were these radio ads. And you could buy these radio ads with no station on it. So whatever station in Chicago buys this ad and then puts, KCOP Radio Chicago at the end. But if you watch this animation with this computer guy and all this stuff happening. You look at it and you go, oh, this is where Tron came from. This has been in this guy's head. This wasn't, I'm going to write a movie. This was something that already existed for this guy that he made into a movie, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give him that. Another thing I would give him is a refreshing drink.
Yeah, I mean, they're very athletic in the thing. There is a refreshing drink in Tron, of course.
But that pool that they sip out of?
Yeah, the pool that they sip out of.
It's battery acid.
Delicious, delicious battery acid. Don't drink battery acid, folks. Don't.
And it's funny because when I was watching them drink out of the mysterious pool, I don't know why, but I was all about, oh, you're going to get your sleeve wet. Yeah. That's all I could think about. Just like, oh, my God.
My thought was, don't stick your face in, you'll get pink eye.
There was an element of that, too. You're right. Why did I think that? The sleeve and then just, I don't know. Ugh. Maybe I just don't want to drink with those guys. Bruce Boxleitner. But this drink is fabulous because look at the color of it. Can you see it at home, folks? That's how bright blue this is.
Oh, I was hoping we wouldn't tell them what color was. They'd have to figure it out for themselves. And yes, write in. SneakyDragon.com. What color do you think this drink is?
The drink is named after a Linda Ronstadt song. Blue Bayou.
Ah, Blue Bayou.
Oh, are you going to sing a little bit for us?
No.
Oh,
we don't have the rights.
We got to fight for our right. But yeah, this is a lovely Blue Bayou. It's got vodka, blue Curacao, which is the bee's knees of Curacao's. Your regular Curacao is just brownish. Or is it clear?
Well, there's also red Curacao.
Is there?
Yeah, my sister brought it back from Curacao.
I was going to say, you can never get it up here.
Yeah.
Curacao, the only country named after a liqueur. Funny. Pineapple juice and grapefruit juice. Could I interest you both in a Blue Bayou?
That sounds amazing.
It's a blender drink. It's been pre-blended.
Uh-huh.
On account of blenders and microphones don't mix.
You know what's great about this drink is it's got the exact same color as toothpaste. As like Crest toothpaste. And my little sister was... and probably still is quite gullible. One of the smartest human beings I've ever met. But eagerly ate a chocolate cupcake iced with toothpaste. Served to her by her older brother. She also had, what did we give her for instead of pudding one time?
Oh, no.
Barbecue sauce. It was barbecue sauce. Okay. It was barbecue sauce instead of pudding. But she had a revenge on me. She signed me up for, there was like an ad for a free sample of a Depend adult diaper. And so she filled out my name and the address and it came my way. And then every 6 months for the next 5 years, I was put on, an adult diaper mailing list and I just kept getting free samples every 6 months for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So
awesome.
Fair play to her.
A friend of mine did that to me. I joined a kittens fan club, and so I got a picture from this cat and a potograph. I got on the, who was on Cagney and Lacey?
Cagney and Lacey.
Yes. Time Daily and...
Sharon Glass.
I was a member of the Sharon Glass fan club, according to this. There was a local church that he signed me up for, saying that I loved... model cars or toy cars or something.
And Jesus.
I'm in my 20s at this time. And a woman came to our house. It was a local church. And my mom answered the door and said, is Jason here? And she said, yeah. And so I came down to the door and she's like, oh, hello. And I'm like, hi. And she gave me this little package with a plastic glove with different colored fingers that meant it was some sort of biblical teachings. And so I got on the phone. Tom, did you contact a local church? Give them my name. I was a member of a privy diggers club that go look for bottles in old outhouses.
A privy digger? Holy shit. Thank you, because it's... it's the only reason I cussed. It was necessary.
What was the final thing that he signed me up for? Privy... Oh, sugar packet collectors. He said, in Canada, we call them sweet packs. And so I got this lovely letter from a guy saying, oh, well, maybe we should exchange some sweet packs, you know, big quotations.
Did you get that with no context? Suddenly like, hey, you want to exchange sweet packs?
It just showed up in the mail. Yeah, pretty much. Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know this about sweet packs.
I haven't even had my Blue Bayou. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Roy Orbison originally, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's very grapefruit forward.
When I saw the movie as a kid, I was overwhelmed, as I say, a little bit by the colors, even though they tried to ruin it for me. And but the frisbees that they threw were clearly frisbees with special effects attached to them, you know?
Well, I think they had to be throwable.
Yes.
Right? And there's that one catch that Tron does when it catches behind his head.
Right.
He really makes that catch.
Really?
Yeah. I watched this. There's a making of Tron on the Blu-ray, which is a press release. Which is just, it's an amazing phenomenon. But there's one on YouTube from, I think, an earlier thing, like a DVD. And it starts with, like, Box Lightner going, I was shooting a movie and I was on a horse and I read the script for Tron. I'm like, I don't want to do this. But they talk about how he,
let's have lunch.
Yeah, they do talk about how he really caught it and how all the crew was encouraged to wear super, super, super bright clothing because the entire set was black and everybody else was wearing white, so it was very monochrome on set. Mm. So the crew was encouraged to wear bright clothing because you're spending like 12, 14 hours in this room and then you go outside. It's, you know, like the end of 2001.
I caught a Frisbee once right with my face and then we didn't play Frisbee for a while.
Right in the sweet pack.
Right in the sweet pack, right in my Box Lightner. But the closest we have for Frisbees are wagon wheels. Here, catch. Over to you. And to you.
Caught it behind my back. Box Lightner.
I remember these only at Halloween. Wagon wheels were what you got at Halloween. This is another podcast. Remind me about what you had at Halloween.
Yeah, I had these quite frequently when I was a kid. My mom would buy them and the after school snack.
You ever microwave them?
What?
Yeah, the marshmallow inside expands, but the cookies don't.
Oh.
So they weirdly misshape. Don't try it. I'm sure it's a huge mess. I seem to remember getting in trouble for this.
It in a golf ball in a microwave.
Because if you put a marshmallow in the microwave, it expands. Like wow. And so the marshmallow expands, and it kind of breaks apart and just like swells up. You got these... Yeah, it then looks like me wearing a hat at a jaunty angle. This would have like a full-size human head with a little cookie on top. Yeah, that's a visual for everybody.
So the Blue Bayou, a nice teal drink, very fruity. But what if we made our own drink? What would we do? It'd have to be neon of some kind, wouldn't it? Or does it?
Yes.
Black and white.
I mean, neon. Yeah, neon. I mean, you could go different neon ways. You could have tonic water and then drink it under black light because tonic water glows.
Oh.
There we go. So I was not imagining things. I thought I was having a stroke at the nightclub, but in fact, tonic. So gin and tonic I had, and the tonic water glows under black light.
Yeah. As far as I know, that's what it is. Because that's when I was 19 and didn't know how to talk to people. I would go to a bar and order gin and tonic. It'd be under black light. People would come up and go, what are you drinking? That looks super cool.
Wow. Ah. And you would say, don't talk to me.
Yeah. I'm beginning to think, yeah. Oh, it's not. I'm not shy. I'm a jerk. I said, how dare you?
I'm a jerk.
And it's not just blue. There's also a lot of red in there the film. So we could do something with red and tonic water. Say even like the heavy syrup from... A jar of cherries when you get your cherries.
Grenadine.
A
bit.
You just grenadine. Oh, yeah.
Pomegranate juice.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was.
Grenadine needs pomegranate juice.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. Right, of course. Some sort of grenadine, pomegranate, something like that. And tonic. And what spirit will we put in? We put in gin because it sounds like Flynn. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. Probably a clear one or curacao, but then I feel like we're. Curacao's a good go-to for blue, but for red.
Yeah. Well, as you said, there's the red curacao.
Yep.
But, I mean...
That's hard to find.
That's right. Could we... This isn't for everybody. Whereas grenadine we can get anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe just some gin. That sounds like a lovely drink.
I think so. Yeah.
And there's...
And then a bright yellow straw.
A bright... Yeah, or something, maybe some orange zest, because the orange goes through into the computer world and back before Flynn does.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
It's like the Godfather. The orange symbolizes death.
That's perfect. What do we call it?
The Recognizer. I don't know. What do you want to call it?
Yeah, the Recognizer is good.
With a W. The Recognizer. Because it'll wreck you if you drink too many.
How about, isn't that the guy from Mr. Merlin?
That's Blossom's grandpa. So, final thoughts on Tron.
I guess watching it when I was a kid, I wasn't that impressed, but rewatching it, I was like blown away at all, and I looked up and there's no mention of it, so it's just me who sees this in this film. All these like black and white, early black and white German expressionism, not montage, when you're like homage. Mm-hmm. So much of the black and white reminds me of like Metropolis and
so you're seeing like Fritz Lang stuff.
Fritz Lang, Conrad May.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And some of the fighter scenes remind me of the they took it from Star Wars, but Star Wars took it from 1940s fight and 1930s fight movies, like war movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the stuff, all the art stuff, all the design. I was thinking like Omni magazine for some reason.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember Omni magazine?
Yeah, the science magazine made by the guy who made Penthouse.
Yeah.
By Bob Guccione. Yeah, yeah.
Was it?
The art in it was just fascinating. Did not know that. It was amazing. And I looked up and Mobius was one of the set and costume designers.
Yeah, Mobius and Sid Mead.
Yeah.
The great Sid Mead
and
worked on it.
And Peter Lloyd.
Well. Yeah.
And so I was just blown away by all this art stuff that I was seeing in it, because I've studied early film, and I've got a fine arts degree, so I was like, oh look, it's all this 80s expressionism that I wonder if they took from, but they just never talk about. But that's just me.
No,
I was blown away.
No,
so
I think you're probably onto something.
I was way more interested in this movie as a 40-year-old
really cool.
than
yeah.
That is really cool. I also noticed that Harrison Ellenshaw, the matte painter, is a producer on the film.
Ah.
So I thought that was kind of cool that the movie's so art heavy.
Yeah.
That a matte painter got a producer credit. Yeah. Which I thought was really cool. A lot of the shots were like real prog rock cover as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's the whole Mobius thing.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, it was a really cool aesthetic. I really love it. It's really gorgeous to look at. And it is a fun movie to watch. Katie's observation as well is they really hit that Christian versus the Roman thing on the head pretty hard, didn't they? You know, putting the people who believe in the users in the gladiator arena. I'm like, listen, for kids don't live a metaphor. Kids just get it handed to them.
Yeah, in fact, I almost would have, I think now as an adult, appreciated a bit more of that religious aspect, although often in a movie of a fantasy thing, I don't want that, but I kind of wanted a bit more of that to say what they thought about the users. I felt I needed a bit more of that.
It was kind of cool that the whole the user and the program are played by the same character.
Mm-hmm.
If you look real closely in the background, near the beginning when Box Lightner's walking through the cubicles, there's a guy eating popcorn. That's the same actor who plays Ram in the movie. That's Ram. That's Dan Shore plays both characters.
Okay.
Yeah. So like the whole idea that like you create the program in your own image. I thought that aspect was like, okay, that's kind
of
cool.
Well, they said early in the movie that like there's a little bit of us programmers in every program that we we make. And then it's like literally them.
Yeah.
I just thought too, as a funny aside, is how popular the games would be if you say, hey, do you want insurance programs to fight kids? This is the new game for the Intellivision. How about a tax program versus...
But it's also like wild that they're talking about corporations controlling the internet in 1982.
Yeah.
When it's like, I don't know what that last word is. You know, like corporations, what? Computers talking to each other? What?
Yeah.
I got war games. But yeah, I can see why people didn't quite click with it at the time. But you move, obviously you move forward and you're like, oh yeah, 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 I see what they're doing. Yeah, yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, holy, free internet. Holy
free.
Crap. Yeah.
It should be free and open. Yeah. Open source.
Open source. Boy, that takes me back to that awful camping trip. But I digress. The Blue Bayou's working its magic.
Now, if you want to make yourself a recognizer, in brackets, Flynn and Tronic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Nice.
No, that's not mine. I cannot take credit for that.
Okay. I was playing along, folks.
Our producer had put that forward, and I shook my head in shame and went, oh.
It's the most brilliant name.
If you want to make yourself a recognizer, Flynn and Tronic, take a picture and send it our way, along with any questions, comments, or et cetera, to sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. I'm Eric Fell.
I'm Jason Dedrick.
And I'm Vicky Van.
Greetings, programs. That's the opening.